everyone, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. And I have on the phone a really beautiful person, and I can't wait for us to dive into this conversation. Delilah D is the founder of Delilah & Company LLC, a digital content and events agency that pushes positive message to move people of color into action, to shift from dreamers into doers. The Philadelphia-born and raised proud Latina is the walking embodiment of vitality, fortifying the community she is cultivating around her. Through this agency, Delilah and her team produce inspirational digital content that convey a message of resilience. Aside from Delilah and company, Delilah has launched Hermanas in Hustle, a project she uses to empower women to unite and shine together in true sisterly fashion. Welcome, Delilah.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
This is awesome. I literally was looking at your media kit earlier and I was like, okay, is she a celebrity? Because I'm not ready.
Not at all. I'm just a crazy, loud girl with crazy dreams that just continues to keep pushing forward. That's me.
Oh, I love that. And I love having women like you on the show because I always hope that my listeners will take something away from the people that are on the show. And I know that they will from you because if, you know, from your talk at the Globe Wellness Tour, I was just like, yep, I need her on my show. And shout out to Candy Calderon that she brought these amazing dynamic Latina speakers to New York for this Globe Wellness Tour this year. And I can't wait for her to bring it all over the U.S. because I'm going to all of them.
Yes, Candy's amazing. Actually, the next one we're going to do is in Philadelphia. So we're partnering up for that one. She's, oh my God, her vision, just how she's trying to, everything she's doing about like impacting our community in general on a health aspect and, you know, wellness in general. She's amazing. I love her. I'm honored to be her friend.
That is amazing. And you know what? Philly, it's funny because Philly's not one of those towns that not that I don't hear about it, but when people are always talking about Boston and New York and LA and stuff, and Philly is a city that I actually really enjoy. So I'm happy that you're from there because then you could kind of bring some Philly pride to the podcast, which I'm excited.
We're gonna bring all the jawness over here.
Oh my God. And you have like an accent. Oh my God, Delilah. I'm just excited for everyone to hear about you. So you were on the panel, on the Go Wellness Tour panel, talking about mental health.
Yes.
Okay, great. So you were sharing a little bit about your mental health story. And then later on, I learned that you were a content creator, that you did events, and that you had been a speaker at all these amazing events. So say if you were sitting across the room and you are on a date for the first time, and they're asking you, so Delilah, what do you do? What is your elevator speech for them when someone asks you that?
You know what's so funny, because I do so much. So this is kind of like an icebreaker whenever I do meet someone for the first time. And even when I'm on a date for the first time, which I actually was on 2 days ago, guy asked me, he's just like, so what do you do exactly? Because, you know, they see my social media, they see I do a lot. And I always respond, I'm like, I'm a superhero. Like, I literally would just say,
oh,
I'm a superhero.
I love
that. And I always take people back. They're like, wait, what?
Crime at night.
Yeah, I mean, they get interested. So I know there's been a couple of times they're like, "Are you a doctor or something?" Like, do you say, "Look, I just save lives mentally, emotionally, just do what I can for my community." I mean, the reason why I say that in general is because like everything that I do with my brand in general, not just my brand, but the brand of my company, as you mentioned, like we're helping shift mindsets. So like, you know, from the content we create to the events we put on, we just want people to become the best versions of themselves, specifically the minority community. So our target market are people of color. You know, we just want them to understand, especially in this world that we live in today, they continue to tell us that, oh, we don't belong here. Or, you know, they tell us that we're not, you know, we don't have seats at the table, to tell us that, you know, we aren't destined for certain things. We're basically just creating a narrative that we're changing the narrative. You know, we're breaking generational curses. Like, so what if we don't come from a family entrepreneur? So what if we don't come from a family that works in Wall Street? So what if we don't come from a family, you know, who's basically built, you know, things out of nothing and become like huge successes.
Right. They weren't born with resources.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And the thing is, it's crazy right now is because in the society we live in, the generation we live in today, like all the technology we have in our hands, it's like, what are you utilizing Instagram for? What are you doing on Facebook? What are you doing when you're scrolling through Twitter? Like, are you actually investing your time into becoming a better version of yourself? So, you know, there's so much content online. Right. And it's just, you know, so we're very particular about the stuff we push out. We understand our platform. We understand, even with me, because granted, yes, I do have the bigger platform than my company, but I'm very particular about the messages I put out. So even though it's not, like, so I try to be as transparent as possible. Even with the stuff that I said that I share, because obviously, you know, like, Instagram can be like a highlight reel, like, oh, you're gonna see all the successes, you're gonna see all the good, but not necessarily the bad. However, when I do share, like, if you look at certain posts, I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm doing this, blah blah blah. However, I remember when there was a time when I was going through this, when I was going through that. This is why I appreciate this moment. So, and even when people ask, like, I'm very open about my story. I'm very open about, like, my struggles. I'm so proud of my struggles. I'm so proud of all of my failures, because, like, I didn't let them get to me and I'm still here. So, I mean, that's even just kind of like one of the main things, like, one of the, like, most important messages we try to share, especially with the content we create on Delilah and Company. Right. It's just, you know, we share those stories of adversity and struggles. We're letting people know that you can do anything you set your mind to, and you can change, like, whatever your story is right now. You know, whatever you're going through right now, it's literally just a chapter in your life, and it's going to pass. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically what the whole concept of Delilah and Company is. And we have our hashtag that we created, which is Occupying Your Mindset. Mm. And, you know, that goes along with the brand in general, which we want people to understand. You know, you change your mind, you change your life. You know, there's a lot of things you can't control. There's a lot of outside factors you cannot control as much as, you know, you like. But the one thing you can't control is your mind. The one thing you can't control is your perspective. So it's like, how are you viewing the world? How are you viewing things that are happening to you? Like, how are you going to learn from it? How are you going to let it, you know, make you, not break you? So, yeah, I'm just, like, genuinely passionate about that. Because, like, I mean, I've, like, this journey of mine has been crazy.
And you know what, Delilah, when I look through Delilah and Cole, their Instagram, you can tell that it's curated for Latinos, Latinx people, you know, in terms of empowerment and showing us images that are going to be both beautiful and creative and allows us to open our mindset. But I know a lot of people who are content creators, but I've never heard someone also have events and also kind of like a personality. So you have a lot of layers. You're not just posting pretty pictures that are like love and light and flowers and beautiful Latinas and Latinos. You are also speaking about your experience and stuff like that. So what kind of motivated you to start Delilah and Co? Because I'm sure that it probably grew from what you first kind of birthed it in your brain.
So it's crazy. When I first started it, I started it was going to be a video series. You know, I've spoken about this plenty of times before.
Like a blog?
Yeah. So it's going to be, so my whole thing was like, yeah, I'm going to interview celebrities. I'm going to share their stories of adversities. You know, we're going to be lives and all that fun stuff. However, I quickly learned that, you know, when you are a growing platform, and by growing, I mean that no one knows about you. Unfortunately, you know, these people that you do want to target, these stories you do want to share, like, they're not going to respond to you because you don't have a big enough platform. So because I wasn't, like, you know, one of these major media outlets, so, you know, I will barely get a response back, or I will barely, you know, if I do get a response, I'm like, oh, no, thank you, you know, maybe another time, so on and so forth. And my thing is just, like, it's just beyond me, because I'm like, yo, like, I'm actually creating a positive, influential, like, media outlet. And you guys and celebrities are always talking, because I initially, when I first started this, it was just going to be focused on celebrities sharing, you know, celebrity stories. So I'm like, you know, celebrities are always talking about how they're being portrayed horrible in the media, how, you know, no one knows the real story, blah, blah. And I'm over here, like, I'm reaching out to you because I want to share that story. Like, I want to share, like, your stories, your struggles. I want your fans to understand you on a more intimate level, more than, like, what, you know, they see, you know, me, I, like, what they're seeing on the media outlets and stuff. So I was just like, you know, why is anyone paying attention? Like, I'm actually trying to do something positive. Oh, right. Because I'm not, like, you know, one of these huge, you know, outlets that may have, like, negative things behind it, which is what you're paying attention to. Like, because I don't have the numbers, like, what's up?
So you wanted to have celebrities, specifically Latinx celebrities, on perhaps, like, a show. You wanted to have, like, a show.
So granted, yes, I'm a proud Latina. I don't target myself just in the Latinx community. So all of my stuff is curated for just like minority community in general.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, especially like I'm very, and even like with like, I mean, well, I'll talk about this a little later. Like a lot of events that I do are for like the Black and Brown community uniting us together because we are so aligned in so many different ways. You know, so, I mean, we'll dig deeper.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up because I had a debate with a friend the other day because obviously the podcast is called Basic Latina.
Yeah.
And she was upset because I had a lot of Black people on the show. And she was like, well, I expected to only hear Latino voices. And I was like, well, minority voices are the ones that I want to elevate. Yeah. And she's like, well, I don't consider myself a person of color.
Well, so, that's cool. That's you.
that's cool.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a whole, we can start a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other episode.
Conversations. You know, I love my community. I am proud of my Latinidad. Yeah. However, Latinos can be some of the most racist people.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, this is something, you know, and I talk about it, you know, I talk about it heavily, you know, because it's something that needs to be shared. And, you know, it won't even, they may think that they're not racist because they're Latino. Oh, how can I be racist if I'm Latino? Like, right. No. There's so many issues within the Latino community, you know.
So much colorism
in general. So, you know, that's why even still, and it's just beyond me because how a lot of brown people like to put themselves above Black people just because they're a little lighter. When it's just like, you know, the Latinidad in general, we have so many different cultures in our community. Like, you know, we have, you know, we represent Africa, we represent Europe, we represent, you know, indigenous. Like, so it's just because of our dark and history past, and that's why I just think like Latinos, we go through a lot, we try to understand who we are because like, you know, we're so I don't know if you saw oh my gosh, John Leguizamo's Netflix thing.
I haven't, but it's on my queue.
Girl, you have to watch it. Make sure you watch it before. But he says it perfectly. He's like, we're the bastard children. Like, he's like, it's really like what we are because, you know, we are the descendants of, you know, if you dig deep into our background, like, it's so dark, it's filled with so much rape, with colonization, with, you know, the entire bloodlines have been erased because of colonization, and it's just like, you know, that's there's so many different shades within the Latino community. This is why we all look different. It's because, like, you know, some of us may be the descendants of still of our indigenous people. Some of us are the descendants of, you know, when they brought the slaves over here, with the Europeans, when the Europeans raped the indigenous people, with, you know, the Asians. So it's just we're everything. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I get so heated about it.
We might have to have a part two.
Carry on a conversation about this.
Yeah.
No, but it's just frustrating because, you know, the thing is, obviously within Latino culture, there's so many different subcultures within the term Latino in general. You know, like how Peruvians celebrate certain things is different from how Hondurans celebrate certain things versus how Puerto Ricans celebrate certain things versus how Dominicans, you know, we're so different. And it's just like, you know, there's a lot.
it's a lot to unpack for sure. So you knew from the beginning that you wanted to highlight just Black and brown people, minorities. You didn't just want to do Latinx community.
Yes. So I've always knew that I was going to, like, my platform. So I've always said, so when I initially started this, my whole thing was, okay, my target market were, like, minority youth. Because, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the inner city neighborhoods, you know. You know, thankfully for me, I've always had a good, you know, I've had a strong family dynamic. I've had people in my lives that kind of mentored me. And, you know, I went to college after school. You know, I'm definitely privileged on that aspect. Yeah. Despite, you know, me not having, I've always said I grew up rich because of, like, the love I had for my family. You know, granted, we were poor financially. However, like, you know, we were always there for each other. So, you know, they've always tried to steer me down the right path. And, you know, always, you know, I was the first granddaughter, the first niece. You know, so there's a lot of firsts that came with me. And I understood, like, you know, especially recently, like, you know, I am breaking generational curses. You know, I was the first to go to, you know, to graduate college. I am the first to, you know, kind of start a business and, you know, and keep with it. I am the first. So there's a lot of firsts that's, you know, that's coming with me. But yeah, my whole thing is when I started this, it's like I wanted to be that mentor that I knew that would have been able to change like the lives of my peers or people that I grew up with if they would have just had someone that was, you know, that was motivating them to like let them know they can do anything they set their minds to. Like, I wanted to be like that, you know, just like, you know, people go into the line and company website because they need some like, you know, motivation. They know they're going to get the content that they need to like, you know, to continue pushing forward. You know, because, you know, when I had started it, I was definitely not there mentally. I was going through a dark time in my life. I wasn't a great daughter. I wasn't a great friend. I was so insecure about who I was. I didn't understand who I was. And, you know, I will always go like on websites or just trying to find like inspirational stories, like those underdog stories of people just turning their lives around. And you may get like one or two of those human interest stories on, you know, these major media outlets, but it'll be like consumed with all this other stuff that's going on in the world. So I'm like, you know, why not create a platform where literally all the content is geared towards that? So, I mean, it's been like the brand has elevated in so many ways. So as I said, originally it was going to be a video series and it turned into a blog, then it turned into like, you know, me not just sharing stories of celebrities, but also sharing stories of people who are currently working hard to make their dreams come true. I started dabbling in events and I started a online store.
Did you go to school for any of this?
I went to Penn State I graduated with a degree in media studies. So even while I was in school, when I originally went into school, I was going to school for entrepreneurship. At that time, not realizing, because again, I didn't have anyone to really teach me or educate me on like what it is to like run a business entrepreneur, but I didn't realize that entrepreneurship was a broad term. Because I could say I want to be an entrepreneur, but what does that mean? Like, an entrepreneur is someone that sells ice cream on the, you know, on the corner versus someone that's also, you know, starting a startup company that's worth, like, millions of dollars. So anyone could be an entrepreneur. Like, I've always had, like, the hustler mindset of me. Like, I was that girl that was selling CDs in high school. I remember it was one for $5. It was like one for $3, two for $5. You know, I remember my classmates, they'll send me their list of songs they wanted the CDs. I'll make the CDs for them. Like, I've always been a hustler. Like, you know, that's something that my mom, you know, her work ethic was definitely passed down to me. And even my dad too, you know, granted, I don't have a close relationship with him, but that's something, he's always been a hard worker too. He's always had like multiple jobs. So that definitely was instilled inside of me. So I've always knew I wanted to run my own business. I just didn't know exactly what. Right. So I'm not gonna lie, Sets in the City, they kind of paint a picture. I wanted to be in PR because I wanted to be like Samantha Jones. Oh, like, to me, it was cool. Like, it was just like, you know, like, you know, she just like, she embodied.
Yeah, she's a boss.
Yeah, she was boss, you know, and I wanted, you know, to be here. So I started, like, I had, like, PR internships while I was in school, and then I realized I hated PR. I'm like, it's not, because I thought it was just, like, all events and cool clients. Like, it's so much, you know, when it comes to, like, just doing research and, you know, sending the pitches and stuff. I didn't really like it. I loved the PR company I worked for, but I was like, this is not my thing. Then I had interned for American Idol, so I was a production assistant.
That's so fun.
Yeah, so, and just seeing like the behind the scenes of everything, just, you know, these huge events, how they're put together, and I lived for it, like the adrenaline and just kind of the, you know, going back and forth, like I loved it. So from then I'm like, okay, I know I definitely wanna do something with events. Like, I love being able to create an experience. So, from then, you know, even like I was highly involved in school. Like, I was on the exec board for different initiatives. Like, I was on the exec board for NAACP. I was on the exec board for, yeah. So this is what's crazy. I'm telling you, it wasn't, because growing up, I was pretty much only with the Latino community. So right. Like, I knew, like, you know, of my culture or whatever, but it wasn't until I went away to college that, you know, when I was part of, you know, Students for Justice of Palestine, I was part of NAACP. I was understanding, you know, there's so many different cultures. There's so many different things that's going on. Like, I want to learn more. Like, I've always, and then like in college, definitely, and something I'm definitely grateful for. It definitely, like, it lit that fire inside of me to want to learn and just seeing exactly how we're all tied together, too. Just, like, you know, just learning history, learning our roots. And I mean, from then, I've just kind of been, like, digging deep into kind of understanding my roots. And, so even, like, being involved in that, like, you know, I put together the first NAACP awards at Penn State, you know. So I've always, like, I just, and then, just getting people to leave events and just feeling inspired, feeling empowered. They're like, oh my God, this was great. Can't wait for the next one. I'm like, I want to do like more of this. So even when I first dabbled with the Latin company, granted, it started off as just, it was going to be content I was creating. I knew I still wanted to do events here and there, but at that time I couldn't financially afford to like put on as many events as I wanted to. So
what were you doing as your like full-time? Because I'm assuming that Delilah and Co. started as a side hustle.
Yeah, girl. Yeah. Everything was self-funded. Everything was just like, everything was built from a bootstrap. And girl, I've had so many jobs. Like I can't even like within these past 5 years, and whether I was like working part-time or full-time or even at that time, because when I had left college, I had moved to New York because, you know, everyone moves to New York, especially when you're doing media. And if you make it there, you make it anywhere. I had moved to New York. I was, you know, growing my contacts, just kind of pushing the brand out there, what I wanted to do. And then what's crazy is that while I was living in New York, at that time I was living on my friend's couch, actually. Because that was quite an interesting story. I didn't make any plans or anything. It was sudden. A lot of things that I've done, I didn't really plan for. I'm a leap jumper. I take leaps of faith, and I just kind of jump. I just wing it. I mean, I'm still here. Trust me, I've done put my mom through so much stress. But yeah. So here we go. Sorry. And So when I moved to New York, one of the things that I've learned, especially while living there, was just how much pride all the New Yorkers had in their boroughs, like how much pride they had of being where they're from. And something I took, you know, upon that, I'm just like, why am I not prideful to be from Philadelphia?
Right.
So it's just, you know, I just started asking myself. I'm like, why was I so adamant about leaving the city to raise me? Why did I want to leave so bad? And, you know, everyone's like, you know, why am I going to be helping, you know, another city thrive economically, especially because obviously if I'm starting my business there, I'm putting money into the city, but not the city to raise me. So I decided to move back to Philadelphia and just kind of figure out like what I'm going to do. I wanted to, at that time I was just like, okay, like I want the headquarters for like the Delilah company to be based in Philly. So I kind of shifted just like my mindset, and I'm like, okay, like ideally, ultimately the plan is to, you know, is to buy out like one of the abandoned factories. It's like here in North Philly too. So I don't want it to be like in Center City or the suburbs. Like I want it to be in North Philly because that's like where I was raised. Those were the streets that raised me. So I wanted to be, you know, just take over one of these places, have our headquarters be there, even though we do events everywhere all around the country, but I want us to be headquartered in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I know it would definitely be like a sense of pride in a sense, like especially for like, you know, the neighborhoods, they can just like see, like, especially whatever neighborhood I decide to have my headquarters in, I'm like, oh, you know, just to see if there's like, you know, some major like A-list celebrity just walking into my building because we're about to like shoot like some interview with them or something while they're like on their way to the corner store, to the poppy store to go get their like sandwich or something.
Yeah. Oh my God,
Yeah, so I decided to move back to Philly. And I felt like, honestly, like, if I can take over my city, I can definitely take over, you know, any other place. So, yeah, I moved back here. I started dabbling in events. And I just, like, yeah, I love curating experiences. And I just love curating just dope, again, experiences that, like, that leave people just wanting more. Just knowing that I was able to put, you know, bring people together for whether it's, like, 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
And impact their lives and, you know, in some way, shape, or form, in a positive way, like, that makes me happy. So, and especially when it comes to my events, I'm always, like, all my friends always call me, like, the dot connector, or, like, I always, like, so I'm, like, okay, I know you do this, I know you do that, okay, you guys need to meet, you guys talk, see what can happen, okay, you do that, you do this, you guys meet, try to make some magic happen. So, I always, because I know what it's like, especially when you go to an event not knowing anyone, And then even though you get all excited, but sometimes, you know, people are shy, you know, sometimes people, they may not have like extroverted personality. And even though they want to talk to someone, they just don't know how to initiate the conversation. So if I know you personally, like I try to get to know my followers as much as possible, especially those people that are engaged with me. I like, you know, I'll look over, you know, what they do, or anyone that I see that's coming to my events or they comment, like I'll scan through their pages and just try to make mental notes of like, you know, what they're interested in. So I can try to connect them with someone in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, I just love building, like, when people build genuine connections, and, you know, hopefully, like, you know, people meet at my events and then they end up, like, creating magic together. And it's like, oh yeah, we met at the Island Company event.
Right. Now, how do you guys, you and your team, how do you pick what kind of events? Because I'm sure that there are people who reach out to you about wanting to do an event because they love what you do, they love your brand, they love your team. So how do you figure out as a company, like, what is the best fit for us?
For anyone, I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
So when someone is reaching out to Delilah & Co. Mm-hmm. and they want to have an event, you know, is that something that someone can do? Can someone reach out to you because they want you to throw an event? And if so, how do you pick what kind of events that you...
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of the things that I do, so even if, like, let's say, so even though, like, yes, I do industry type events, like, let's say, you know, we had, like, a Grammy watch party where everyone, and we, you know, we partnered up with, like, you know, this local venue and some mm-hmm. liquor brands and stuff, but they were still like, okay, we're going to make this empowering in some way, shape, or form. Like, you know, we make it engaging. We make, like, the people interact with one another. However, a lot of our events are events that basically have, there are, like, for social impact in a sense. So okay. You would never... Don't come to me because you want to throw a party and, you know, and that's
that's what I figured. Yep. But yeah, if they want to, like, what if they want to, so someone who has, like, an album coming out shouldn't reach out to you or something like that?
It depends on the music. I would definitely, like, I'm always, I'm okay with looking over pitches. Like, you know, it's pitch, okay. What you think. If you think you would like for me to be a part, I'm not going to say no immediately. Like, no, don't even bother. Just send it to me. I'm always looking toward, because this is the thing about me that's crazy. I don't like to put myself in a box. I like to, like, you know, this this past year, the stuff that I've done this past year have been all over the place. And it's stuff that I wouldn't even thought I'll dabble in. But, like, for whatever reason, I've been able to accomplish everything that was thrown my way. Like, you know, for instance, granted, a lot of my stuff has been industry type events, but then I hosted a startup weekend. Like, you know, I partnered up with Google for Entrepreneurs, with the Caper Center, with Techstars. And, you know, we put together Latinas and Tech Startup Weekend, like me, Delilah. Like, I had nothing to do with startups before the past. And I put together a startup weekend, which really impacted the lives of people that was a part of it.
I really love the Christmas R&B show that you guys put up.
Yes,
so that was really cute. Yeah,
we did the R&B holiday benefit concert, which, you know, we provided a space for, you know, up and coming artists, and also we donated, you know, 50% of the proceeds to the Ronald McDonald House. So, you know, we just like, so even a lot of our stuff is industry type things, but we got to make sure there has to be some type of social impact involved. So, like, again, you know, okay, we may be putting on concerts, but we need to impact the community in some way, shape, or form. So us, impact the community, was partner up with a local nonprofit organization. Right. So even if someone, like, is interested, they have, like, an album coming out and they want me to put it together, I'm okay. You know, send me the budget. But again, you can't have an album that's completely degraded to a woman. You're all talking about, like, killing whatever. That's cool. That's a great beat, but that has nothing to do with me. Like, it has nothing to do with me at all. But if you have an album that's empowering to our community, especially to the minority community, that, you know, that's motivational or just whatever, they send it to me, and then we'll see, like, how I can work, you know, especially with the brands that I'm affiliated with. I'll see what we can work, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I'm all about creating just, like, meaningful experiences, and yeah, so I'll make sure that even if we partner up for an event, you want me to take lead, then we'll make sure that all the attendees that come, like, they're gonna come, like, wow, when's the next one?
And you know what? I love that your company has layers, because you still kept the authenticity of the company, which mm-hmm. was, in the beginning, you wanted to make sure that you highlighted people of color and their voices and their narratives, and you're still doing interviews, mm-hmm. you're doing the events. Tell me about this, like, clothing line, because that's one thing that I was just like, oh, because at first I thought that Delilah & Co. was a clothing line. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is awesome. Like, they, like, interview celebrities. This is, like, legit. That seems not, like, completely left.
I know. Again,
and I love that. Because I actually brought my friend a Latina Boss Babe shirt for Christmas.
Oh, my God, bless you.
So, tell me about the clothing line, because that must have been different for you.
Yeah, that was different. So, I mean, I just knew I wanted to create a line that just had, like, motivational messages and something that represent me and something that represent our brand. So if you go onto our shop, which you can either go through delilahandcompany.com and you'll be able to click shop, but we have our even though obviously anyone can purchase our clothes, but our clothes are predominantly, again, it's targeted towards the minority community. So we have inspirational messages, or, you know, one of, like, for instance, like one of our most popular shirts are Got Goals. So instead of Got Milk, it says Got Goals. We have, you know, our Made by Immigrant shirt. We have a shirt that says, my ancestors fought for my bloodline to survive. Mm-hmm. I have no other choice but to be great. You know, just like stuff like the slogans are just kind of this inspirational. So, you know, we have shirts that says ambitious as fuck, Latina right. boss babe, like you said, build an empire and chill. So,
I love them. And I'm looking, as I'm doing more research and I'm looking at you, and I, girl, if I ever screamed so loud when I saw you in a picture with Steve Harvey, I said, oh my God, how? Because let me tell you something. I have no experience, like, other than podcast. I'm like very like regular. I have, like, you know, my private practice. I don't like being out and about. Mm-hmm. I'm very low key. I don't like a lot of attention. So it's funny because when I love interviewing people who are on the spotlight or who are in the spotlight, and then I saw all these other people that you work with, like The Real and Revolt, and I'm like, wait a minute. So tell me about, how is that working for people? Because you thought from a very young age that you wanted to do this. You wanted to interview celebrities. Did you ever, like, get imposter syndrome or have any thoughts in your mind about being a Latina in these spaces? What was that for? What was that like for you?
Girl, all the time. And even recently, so I was invited to go to Silicon Valley, to the heart of Silicon Valley, mm-hmm. to be an opening speaker for Latinas in Tech Summit. Mm-hmm. So when I tell you my imposter syndrome kicked in like crazy, I had a panic attack. And this is real. Oh. Like, this is... But you know what's crazy? I was listening to this podcast. Like, I can't think of her name right now. But because someone had sent me this podcast on my Facebook, actually, because I had posted a video of me actually crying, which is crazy because that's like my most, I had like, oh, close to 11,000 views on that video. I'm like, y'all gonna hear me here, y'all gonna see me crying.
Oh my God, people love vulnerability. They do.
Oh girl, yeah. Yeah, I had like so many comments. They had like over 200 comments on that video.
Close wow.
But like, yeah, my social media came in, like my social media family came in like crazy. It's like, you know, so I'm like, Delilah, you got this, but yeah, my imposter syndrome was kicking in like crazy. I didn't think I was gonna be able to do that speech because, and the guy that was prepping me is this guy who was in charge of TED Talks for like, you know, 5 years before, like, you
wow.
know.
Wow, that's so nice. I'm
like, you know, just to be able, because I'm over here, like, I'm gonna be talking to people who are like engineers, people from Facebook, people from, you know, these major tech companies and stuff, and I'm in a room like sharing my story. And at that time, I was just like, you know, Delilah, because granted, I don't get me wrong, I know I'm gonna be successful as fuck. There is no doubt in my mind. Yeah. Like, however, I'm still not where I envision myself to be. Because I'm still not there yet, because I'm still on this journey, I felt like I didn't have the credentials I needed to be speaking wow. in a space like that. Mm-hmm. So that hit me. And, you know, when I was preparing for that, I really felt like all these feelings, like I was overwhelmed. And I'm like, Delilah, are you really faking the funk right now? Like, are you really, like, do you even belong in this space? Like, do you even wow. like, so it's just so, I mean, that hit me, and I did post about it, and then my social media family was just like, nah, girl, we are coming through, we are coming hard, and they put me in my place, like, no, Delilah, like, you've been doing this for years, like, you know, you've been pushing, like, you create entire platforms for our people, like, and it's just, oh my God, and I was crying even harder because of just how, like, yeah, my social media family was just, they made sure to, like, put me in my place and remind me, like, no, you deserve this, you deserve everything that's coming your way. But that's real, like, especially when you come from a family, again, like, it's not like I have, you know, I come from a family of successful entrepreneurs, or I come from a family, you know, so this is all new, these are all new spaces, this is all new to me, all new to my family. So, but it's just, you know, I had to, like, realize, like, Delilah, with the only reason why, as I was saying, so I was listening to this podcast that someone had recommended to me, and it was about imposter syndrome, and the lady said in the podcast, you know, you don't feel like you're an imposter when you're like failing. You never feel like an imposter when you're failing. You feel like you're an imposter when you're winning. You feel like an imposter when you're achieving new levels of success. And that's the only, so the when you know you're feeling like an imposter is because you're accomplishing what you want to do. Right. So it's just, you know, and I, when, you know, when I heard that, and I'm just like, yo, this is real. Because like when I was, because when I was down and out, when I literally had no money in my bank account, when I was failing at every single thing I was trying, I felt like that was, you know, I belonged there. Like, I felt like, you know, I didn't question myself, but why is it that when I'm achieving new levels of success, why is it that when, you know, I'm surrounding myself with people with amazing credentials, like I'm questioning why, if I belong there, I'm questioning, you know, if I deserve to be there. And I was just like, you know, I had a, again, this is a whole, like, what occupying your mindset is rewind your thought process, rewind your mind. I had to tell myself, like, Delilah, chill. Right. You are that, like, you belong in these spaces. And that's something, you know, I try to preach heavily too, especially to my followers. It's just like, yo, like, you know, this whole thing of breaking generational curses and changing the narratives, creating a new story for your family line, like, it's real. And it's like, you it's like one of the hardest things ever, but like, you know, when you accomplish it, like, you gotta go head on, like, you gotta be confident. Like, and I mean, honestly, after that, like, the fact, because I did not think I was gonna be able to do that speech even in on that day. When I woke up that morning,
I know that you were listening to the podcast and you were doing a lot of self-talk. Mm-hmm. So on a big day like that, when you're about to do a speech that makes you maybe want to vomit, and you're in a space and you're concerned about whether you belong there, what kind of things do you say to yourself, or what do you do to prep yourself before a speech like that?
So, you know, this guy that I met, he spoke at, cause I used to work at a school. I was a community events coordinator there. Mm-hmm. And he was one of like the motivational speakers that I had booked for the school. So I had met him through there, so we started finding each other social media after that. But when I had posted that thing, again, when I tell you, my social media family came hard to remind me, Delilah, you belong, as they came hard. But Mike Nelson, he preaches to like kids all the time, and he's very passionate about impacting the youth. But he sent me a prayer, actually. He sent me a prayer through Facebook, which I did, because I started doing vlogging now too on our YouTube channel, and I posted, I have the voiceover of his prayer on that vlog. His prayer, like, I listened to his prayer before I took the stage, and he's just like, you know, Delilah, please remove, he's like, God, please remove all the feelings of imposter syndrome to Delilah. Let her know that she belongs in this space. Let her know that she is your child. Let her know that she's doing everything you set your mind, that she is doing everything you have called her to do. Like, you know, she's walking in her purpose. Like, she deserves to be here. And it was just like his prayer. Wow. It's like, really was like, when I first heard it, when he sent it to me that night when I posted, I was bawling. Like, I was in tears.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so I definitely listened to that before, but I mean, I'm like, look, I'm here. Like, if I fail, then I fail. At least I can say I tried, but I'm just gonna go. And what's crazy is that I killed it.
Yes!
The crowd kept on clapping. Everyone was coming up to me.
Wait, so what was the talk about, if you don't mind me asking?
So I was actually talking about infiltration, which is my word for 2019.
Okay.
I was talking about, and I even, you know, taking exactly what you asked me. I was talking about taking over spaces that's not meant for people like us. So, you know, the whole thing was just like, you know, telling our community to remind them, you know, especially because in the tech industry, like, you know, it's not really known for Latinos to be taking over the tech industry. So our my whole speech was just kind of talking about that and getting more in deep about understanding our culture, understanding our roots, understanding that, again, there are like entire lineage, like lines, bloodlines have been erased from our ancestors. Like, you know, especially like, you know, I'm half Peruvian, like over 90% of Peruvian tribes are gone because of colonization. Like, I'm of that 10% that survived. So it's just like, you know, that's something, you know, I was, you know, even telling them, like, you being a Latino, you being alive right now, that is not something to take lightly. They tried to erase our entire history. They tried to erase our entire tribes. And it's just like, and the fact that you're here right now, like, your ancestors fought for you to be here. Your ancestors went through so much for you to be here right now. You think I'm going to take that lightly? You think take that lightly. Like, what are you doing right now with your space? Like, you know, what are you doing with your time on earth to, you know, to pay home, you know, homage to your ancestors? Like, what are you doing for your descendants right now? So it's just, again, it's not something I take lightly. That's kind of what I was speaking on. And then on top of that, like, having Latinos understand, because this is, it's very unfortunate, but a lot of Latinos, especially when they make it, they don't really turn around and give back to their community because they want to be considered of the elites, which is something I've noticed. And, you know, and I'm speaking about this again. I love my community. I love being Latina. Like, I you know, I boast about it all the time. But right. Something I've noticed, especially, you know, you get an educated Latino, you know, they get, they make it, they're successful, whatever business, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like they put themselves above, you know, those other struggling Latinos. And right. It's just like, I'm not down with that. So the whole thing too is just like, you're in this space right now, you're in this room, like, this is, you have an advantage. Like, you know, don't forget to go, you know, to turn around and look back at those at disadvantage, and how can you do, like, what can you do to help your community? Because why is it like, you know, you look at other communities, like you look at the Jewish community, the Asian community, like, they all thrive together. They all rotate their dollars amongst one another. They all help each other, like, help one another. Like, why is it that, like, we're not helping each other more? Why is it that only the people on the bottom are always there? You know, they have that it takes a village mindset, but like, those are on top, they can't, like, you know, go and turn around and help the community whenever possible. So right. So yeah, I was basically talking about that, but the whole thing is just kind of like, yeah, infiltrated spaces and, you know, dominate every single room we walk into, and don't be afraid to be the only Latino in the room. Don't be afraid to let your voice be heard. Don't be afraid to, like, you know, feel like you had to lighten on your Latino-ness or whatever just because you're
Is that talk available on, like, YouTube or on your page or something?
It's not. I have the speech. I know my mom recorded it. I'll probably, because the entire video was like 10 minutes long, and a couple of people were asking. It's funny because my one friend was actually just asking about that like 2 days ago. She's like, are you gonna upload the whole speech? And I'm like, no, I don't know.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know if people want to watch a 10-minute speech, but
people like that, obviously, you know, because they just, like, remember, you were the girl that was looking for stuff to look up because you were looking for some inspiration. So mm-hmm. Now you're the woman that people want to look up to get inspiration from. So any opportunity that you have to put, even if it's like a homemade video of your speech, put it on YouTube or something, and not, you know, it's not for clickbait or anything like that. It's to share it with everyone who's been following you, because someone will find you, and then they will be inspired by you. And that's your, it sounds like that's your purpose. And it sounds like that's what you want to do at the end of the day. But, you know, from a business perspective, Delilah, because I have a lot of people of color in the show who I wanted to highlight them as small businesses. Now, I've heard you use the term entrepreneur, and I wanted to kind of talk about the fact that this side hustle turned into a full-time job. So tell me a little bit about that, you know, how this turned into a full-time job, whether you have employees that you know, that space that you wanted to rent out for your headquarters. Mm-hmm. And you guys consider yourself a small business. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I still do consider myself a small business. There's a lot. Like, look, I literally just had a meeting with my CPA yesterday, just getting my life in order. So here's the thing. So I've been doing this for about 5 years now.
Nice.
So the past 5 years, everything was self-funded. Everything, wow. Like, you know, just, that's, you awesome. Know, me paying for our videographers, the content we're creating, you know, me paying for the trips, like, everything was, granted, we had a couple of sponsors involved here and there, but pretty much everything was 100% self-funded. It wasn't until last year, when 2018 was when I actually started receiving income from this. So it's, and this is why I try to tell people.
You only started having income last year. Wow. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people, they think like this, and I'm very open about this. I'm not going to, again, I don't sell glitz and glamour. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, this is really what happened. Because especially in the society we live in today, people think that everything happens overnight. Like, nothing, like, a lot of people just, like, heard about me now, but you understand, like, I've been doing this for 5 years, like, I've been building this, you know, right. And so, yeah, it wasn't until this past year when I started booking speaking gigs and people were paying me. And when I started partnering up with huge brands and they were paying me, when I started, you know, selling like hundreds of shirts on my online store. So everything happened in 2018. Wow. But it took 5 years for me to get to 2018. So this, what's crazy is that because so it's my fifth year in business. So I'm not sure if you ever heard this speech. I think it's Les Brown, if I'm not mistaken. And he talks about the concept of the Asian bamboo tree.
No, tell me about it.
So what's crazy, so I can't say verbatim, but the metaphor behind it. So the Asian bamboo tree, you know, is only grown in Asia. Mm-hmm. So it's very rare for people want to take on, like farmers to take on a bamboo tree. Because okay. The thing is, it takes 5 years for it to grow. So it, like, you have to water it every single day. If you don't water it every single day, it will die. So, like, you know, a lot, obviously, because, you know, farmers, they need to feed their families. They need to, you know, they need like fast, they need money to come in. So, you know, they'll take on other plants, you know, anything they'll see, like money, they'll come in quickly. But the thing is with the bamboo tree, like you're not going to see anything for 5 years. So right. It's like you're watering every single day. You forget to water it, it dies. So, but the thing is, once that first root shoots up from the ground on the fifth year, within like weeks, within like, I think he said like within 5 to 7 weeks, it goes up 90 feet tall. So that's what, you know, he was saying, like, did it take 5 weeks for it to grow, or did it take 5 years for it to grow? So it's like, but then once the bamboo tree is grown, it's lucrative as well. Like, they make everything from bamboo. They make furniture. They build houses. Like, it's very expensive. Right. But a lot of people don't take on that task because it takes years for it to grow. And you're going to have years of not seeing any money. You're going to have years of struggling unless, you know, you have other things going, you know, other sources of income.
Right.
Once you get it, you're good.
I really appreciate you saying that, Delilah, because, you know, I started the podcast as a passion project. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I didn't even fathom that I would make money off of it, because I had no idea what I was doing. So mm-hmm. I knew that I had to, like, get sponsors or ads or whatever the case may be, but I didn't even, like, this is not my, like, realm at all. So mm-hmm. I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know anything about what mics I needed to get, what programs. I've never interviewed anyone. So I was completely, like, diving in, kind of like what you did a couple years
ago. Yeah, girl.
so when people kept asking me, so just to let you know, the podcast turns 1 year old next week, which I'm really happy.
Oh, for. Happy early birthday.
Thank you. And when someone was asking me, I think last year, like, oh, are you making any money off of this? Because I'm always talking about it, like, in my, like, personal spaces. I'm like, no, I'm just doing it for fun. They're like, and I'm like, okay, but that's the thing, is that I didn't go to school for this. I'm still learning. I don't even feel comfortable pitching to anyone this podcast, because I know where I'm at and I know that I have so much more to go. So I appreciate that, because I think one of the things is people want an overnight success. They want to rush the money, which then you kind of have to think about what's your intention? What's your purpose? If
exactly.
you're chasing the money, then I don't think your heart is really into it. And you have to be realistic about the things that maybe you're not as good at, or the things that you need to improve on.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. And I mean, that's something that's always, because don't get me wrong, like, I always want, like, I knew this, I wanted this to be a success. It's right. Not saying I don't want any money to come from it. However, I knew I was going to have to put in the work, because again, I didn't have anyone to guide me. I didn't have, like, no one in my family knew what an LLC was. No one in my family knew how to get an EIN number. No one in my family knew, you know, what's a fictitious name. So I had to teach all of myself that. Like, I had to rely on Google, mm-hmm. on YouTube for everything. So it's just like, you know, there's so many things so many factors, because I didn't have anyone to guide me. I had to teach myself. And, you know, obviously, again, it was all self-funded. And it's not like, you know, in between being like, you know, working part-time jobs, or whether work walking full-time job, you know, I was in between a lot of jobs too, because, like, regardless, I wanted to make sure I was able to get a job that was flexible for me to travel when I needed to, that, you know, because if I had to go do the BET Awards, or I had to go to New York to go do, like, the Halo Awards, I needed, like, things that would be flexible. So, It took years, and this is what I'm saying, it's crazy. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, don't get me wrong, I appreciate and adore all of my followers. I don't care if we just came on, you know, today, or we came on years ago. Right. This past year in general, like, cause I've done so much more in 2018. Like, I was doing back-to-back events, I was booking, you know, I was speaking at things. Like, so I've met so many amazing people this past year, and yes, there is fire stuff, but again, like, you guys just all met me this year. Like, I need you to understand, especially when people
I've been doing this.
Yeah. Like, this, like, I'm trying to tell people, they're like, oh, I have this idea, you know, I want to run it by you, blah, 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 whatever, you know, what's your secret? So I'm like, yo, like, it's just, I didn't give up. And I need you to understand, right. Like, you know, I did this for years. Right. Yeah, you're just hearing about me now, but, like, I've been putting in the work, like, for 5 years. I failed so many times, but, like, one thing I knew is that I knew why I was creating this brand, and I knew, like, how I wanted to impact my community. And I just knew, like, regardless, I was just going to keep at it. Even if it's just, if I didn't see any, like, again, I didn't see any money coming into this at all for years, but I still kept with it. Like, you know, because I wanted to do so much more before in the past, but because I couldn't afford a videographer, you know, I can only afford to maybe do, like, a paid videographer for one video, like, every 2 or 3 months. So, but I still, you know, a lot of years, you know, it was slow, a lot of things wasn't happening, but, like, I knew I was still gonna keep with it and just keep on building, and I think I'm doing kind of okay now.
and that's amazing, Delilah, and you really are an inspiration. Can you tell us a little bit about the things, because it's been a long 5 years, it's your fifth birthday, you've had an amazing 2018, you already probably manifesting the things you want for 2019. What kept you motivated? Like, what kept your eye on the prize? Because it must have been a rough year, you know, a couple of years not seeing as much income coming in from your company. So what kept you on your toes? Why did you not give up?
Girl, life. Like, anytime I wake up alive and well and above ground, I'm giving another shot of life. And it's something I don't take lightly at all. You know, I could have easily had a brain aneurysm in my sleep. I could have easily, you know, got hit by a car going somewhere. So anytime, you know, I have, like, all this passion is instilled inside of me, and I know that I'm here for a purpose. Like, I know I'm here to change people's lives. And again, it's I don't take that lightly at all. So even if I'm failing, like, I know there's a reason why I'm here. I found, like, you know, what it is I'm supposed to do. And it's just, you know, I just keep at it. So regardless of anything that comes my way, like, I, like, you know, this vision, this whole concept could have been put in someone else's head. God, there's a reason why God put this in me. Like, there's a reason why he put this vision in me. And it's just, you know, and it's something I just want to keep at it. And again, you know, I listen to a lot of speeches, which I'm going to continue referring to different speeches. But this one speech, you know, this guy, he had said, like, do you know what is the most expensive place on earth? Like, where do you think all, like, where all the money, like, where is, like, the most expensive place on earth?
So it's an actual place on earth?
Yeah, well, places.
Places. God. I'm not good at these kind of games.
A graveyard. Okay,
I don't know, China.
A graveyard. Because a lot of people have multi-million dollar ideas. A lot of people have, like, you know, ideas that can change the world, but they don't act on them. And a lot of these ideas die with people.
Wow, Delilah, you just took my whole wig off. I'm so serious, because you know why? I'm very much a doer, a dreamer. I'm super organized. I'm like, I have my eye on the prize, I feel like, most of the time. But my friends have so much potential. All of them have amazing ideas, but I have, like, maybe a handful of friends that I know have so much potential, and they let family, kids, their circumstances, which we all know that, you know, there are certain barriers with people of color that stop them from being successful and things like that. Mm-hmm. But then I have so much potential. They have so much potential, and I have so much faith in them. And I'm like, why can't somebody see that? Like, why do people struggle so much to see that in themselves or other people see in them? Mm-hmm. It's so hard. So I'm glad that you said that, because it's true. A lot of ideas do die with people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, ideas can literally change the world.
That's crazy. That is so crazy. Okay, so So what are you, with a busy schedule like yourself, what do you sort of do for self-care? Are there any books that you're reading that you love? Any rituals that you do in the morning?
So I'm recently, you know, Gandhi, as we mentioned earlier, you know, the founder of Glow Wellness Tour, she's really been, you know, getting on me to start focusing on self-care more because, you know, especially with all that I do, I'm always on the go.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there's different, I recently just started, because I used to read a lot before, but I'm not going to lie, I stopped reading just because, you know, I'm always on a computer, I'm always on my phone, right. So I've, like, really just had to take time to, like, really, like, make sure I'm reading again. Mm-hmm. So one thing I do in the morning, so I don't go on my phone in the mornings anymore, because I realized that before, like, it was a bad habit that, like, as soon as I wake up, like, my eyes are barely even open, like, I'm already on my phone. I'm checking my emails, yeah. I'm checking my text messages, yeah. I'll do, like, a quick scan on Instagram, mind you, I haven't even brushed my teeth yet, and then from there, like, 20, 30 minutes later, and then whatever. So usually what I do is when I wake up in the morning, I listen to inspirational speeches and stuff. So like whether I go on YouTube or and I just have that just to kind of get my day going. So, and I'm just like, you know, self-care a lot. I've really just been there just trying to change the way I eat too, because, you know, when you change the way you eat, you change the way how you feel. So it's just like even something as simple as making sure I'm drinking apple cider vinegar and water every single day in the morning.
Oh, no.
Every time I go out to eat, I'm always, you know, asking water with lemon and, yeah, just little things like that. But self-care, I mean, it's a lot of more than just, like, bubble baths and stuff. It's just, like, really just, you know, attacking myself mentally and emotionally, too. So I just try to do a lot of things that, you know, are brain exercises and even, like, again, like, it can be, like, me reading, too. But, like, me... something that relaxes me. So on nights that I have that I don't have anything planned, mm-hmm. I usually go pick up my grandma, and then I'll have, like, my grandma sleep over, and then we'll watch scary movies all night. That's, like, our thing. So
so cute.
So it's like my time away from the world, and I'm just with my grandma, and we've been doing this since I was a kid. Like, we always watch scary movies. She rubs my back, she massages my hair until I fall asleep. Like, it's just our thing. So that now, I mean, it's something, and I appreciate that time with her, and it's just, you know, oh my God, I'm gonna get emotional, but, you know, she's not getting any younger, so anytime I get to spend with her, like, I've always appreciated it. She's crazy. She's, like, she's so funny and hilarious. She's like the life of a party always, but, like, I enjoy spending time with her. So, like, that's something I consider self-care, because, again, I'm always on the go. I'm always running around. And just when I get those moments that I get to just, like, relax and just not do anything, like, I'm okay with it. Like, you know, I'm turning off my laptop. I mean, I'm closing my laptop, because even before, like, I would be with her, like, watching movies and stuff, but I'll still be on my laptop and stuff. Like, no, Delilah, you're not, like, not for anything. I mean, I take what I do. It's important, but I'm not a brain surgeon or anything. Like, it's not needed. Like, I can turn my laptop off. So, yeah, I you know, put my laptop away, I put my phone down, and then I'll just enjoy my time with her, and we'll be watching movies. She's like, oh my God, you saw that? I'm like, yeah, Willa. But we also
I love that. That is so cute. That is really cute. You mentioned a couple times that you love inspirational speeches and things like that. Who is your favorite, perhaps, like, living or dead kind of person that you like to hear their speeches that motivates you, that you go to when you need some, you know, to get your life together and stuff?
Well, I have a lot. However, but the two people that I like watch their interviews over and over again, I study them. I speak about them a lot on my social media. I even have on my Twitter, like, I am the product of these two. Like, if Selena and Will Smith were to have a child, it'll be me.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Like, I've always said that they were, you know, I'm pretty sure they had a love child years ago. Sorry, Jada. I love my you know, my stepmom, Jada. But, like, right, I don't know. But out came me, you know, they had to, like, you know, donate me. Put me up for adoption.
Oh, I love that.
But, no, I love Selena, everything she stood for, everything she still stands for, just, like, how she was able, you know, to put on Latino Americans, make us known, you know, in mainstream media, just, like, her legacy, everything she stands for, and just, like, if you watch, like, interviews about her, interviews she's done, like, she's always been real adamant of making sure that she impacts the lives of everyone that comes, you know, it comes to her. So even with her concerts and, you know, they spoke about this a lot. Like, the concerts would take so long because she would allow her fans to go on the stage and she would always dance with them, but her fans never took advantage of it. Like, they'll do the little dance, she'll give them a hug, and then they'll keep on going, and another fan will come. Like, she would never allow security to kick them out because she's like, look, they keep this. Like, they came, like, they didn't have to be here. They came to see me. So even before, and that's something else Will Smith has said in one of his interviews too, when he was doing, when he was filming for, I think it was when he was filming for the Muhammad Ali movie, mm-hmm. and something that he was taught, when he was with Nelson Mandela, and something that he taught him is the importance of touch. And which is something that I've taken on too. So it's like, you know, when people come into contact with you, and especially because with you being a celebrity, and, you know, Will, like, he makes sure that when he meets fans, he makes sure, like, whether he touches them on the shoulder or something that's giving them a hug, he knows how powerful that is to let them know that, like, mm-hmm. you know, I am human too, to let them know that he's taken in that moment. So that's something that I make sure I do too. So, like, even, like, I'm sorry, I meet people all the time, and they're, like, people that come up to me, like, oh my God, you're Delilah, blah, 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 whatever. And then I'm like, you know, I give them a hug. And it's so funny because so many times this has happened when I've been out with my friends. And, like, you know, like, this happened recently when we were at the movies for the premiere of J-Lo's her second act movie. Yes. And this girl came up to me and with my friends, and I'm just like, and she's like, oh my God, Delilah, you know, nice to meet you, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God, hey girl, gave her a hug, how are you, how's everything, good. And then she went to go meet with her friends, and she was like, nice to see you, etc., etc. And I'm just like, who's that? And I'm like, I don't know.
Believe Delilah, honestly.
But it's just so funny. But I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, she knows me, so I know I appreciate her. Like, she was excited.
Oh my God.
Especially when I'm out with John, so my best friend, because, and people will recognize him because I'm always posting him on my, like, socials and stuff.
Oh, he is fabulous.
Yeah, he's amazing. So one time when he was actually picking up, like, prescriptions for his mom, he was at the drive-thru, and so he's picking up the medicine, and, like, the girl was like, oh my God, you're Delilah's friend. And he's like, yes, that's my best friend. And then, like, she was like telling him how much she loved him or whatever. So then, like, he FaceTimes me and he's like, Delilah, I'm here with one of your followers. And she's like, oh my God. I'm like, hey girl, how are you? And yes. it's just so funny. Like, I always talk to everyone as if, like, I've known them for years. But
My God. That's hilarious. Yeah,
that's something that, like I said, so something I definitely pick up on them is they understand the importance of, like, creating a positive impact for everyone to interact with. And mm-hmm. you know, because again, like, you don't know what anyone's going through, you don't know, absolutely. Like, what their lives are about. So mm-hmm. if they can have, even if it's just like 10 or 20 seconds that they're with you, and have it be a positive experience, and just, like, you know don't leave, like don't be left feeling good, like, do that, like.
So now it's confirmed. You are Will Smith and Selena's love child.
I guess it is. You heard it here first.
Perfect. What is the best advice you've ever gotten, Delilah, from someone?
The best advice I've ever gotten from someone. I get a lot. God's been blessing me with a lot of amazing people that throw the Spitz gems my way. But one of them is just, you know, something as simple as taking in my wins. I actually did a vlog about this. Like, my last vlog was about, like, celebrating micro wins. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as I mentioned earlier before, granted, yeah, I have accomplished a lot. But because I'm not where I envision myself to be, I can be hard on myself. Mm-hmm. And I can just, like, I'll forget to take in certain wins, or because I'm always focusing on the next goal, on the next task. And when you're an entrepreneur, when you're creative, or just, like, a go-getter in general, you know, you're always, like, your mind is constantly on a go, and it's just like, you know, what can I do next? What can I do next? So I've had to really learn, and it's important, especially mentally, and to appreciate my micro wins and to do, like, micro celebrations, because you will really wear yourself out. And again, like, because tomorrow's never promised, and I'll be damned if, like, with everything I'm accomplishing, not take the moment to, like, you know, thank God, and, you know, thank myself, and thank, you know, everyone around me that's, you know, helped me get to this point. So I just like the importance of just like just appreciate like gratitude in general. Everyone that tells me that, that's always tell other people, it's just like, look, just show so much gratitude for like everything. Just like, and if you feel like you had nothing to be grateful for, like, homie, you alive right now. Like, that's something to be grateful for. So if you can't be grateful for anything else, just be happy to be alive.
No, yeah, thank you for talking about gratitude, because I was talking about gratitude in my last episode. I actually practice gratitude every morning because you have no idea what kind of battles you're going to go through in the day, and you might have to go back and remember what you're grateful for.
Yes.
Now, just to wrap this up, Delilah, I wanted to know, what advice would you give your 15-year-old self?
Oh, what advice would I would say, start teaching yourself about your culture now. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get into understanding my roots, my background until like the last 2-3 years, especially. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have been teaching myself more, because I would have been able to do so much more with that knowledge. But yeah, and this is something advice I'll give to everyone. Learn more about where you come from. Learn more about your roots. Learn more about like your history, the history of your people. I think it's just so important, because then you'll really learn to genuinely appreciate like where you are today.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. That is so true. I know that for me, I had an epiphany after the Hurricane Maria stuff happened, and learning more about Puerto Rico, because that's where I was born. I'm Puerto Rican and Dominican, and I was having a hard time grappling with all the politics that were going on. So I had to take like the rest of the year to kind of think about where I came from and to do more research about the island and where I come from. So, and that was helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Delilah. This was amazing. You gave me so much advice, and you are great. I hope that our paths align so we can talk again and I'm going to buy some more merch for you, because I really love all the shirts that you have.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your support. Seriously.
Well, can you tell us before you leave kind of where we can find you? What are your handles and all that stuff?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at I am Delilah D, D-E-L-I-L-A-H-D-E-E. And then for Delilah & Company, we're Delilah & Co. everywhere, D-E-L-I-L-A-H-A-N-D-C-O. Follow us on YouTube. I like, as I mentioned earlier, I am starting to vlog, because a lot of people definitely like, they love tuning into my stories, but I just kind of goes a little bit more in depth into sharing like behind the scenes of what goes on in my world. Mm-hmm. So I mean, whether it's just sharing like, you know, what goes on like with me creating an event or me just talking about certain things. But I'm definitely gonna start vlogging more, so you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Delilah Co. TV. Yeah.
perfect. That is awesome, Delilah. Again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to hear it. This is like one of my favorite conversations thus far.
Oh, perfect. Awesome.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Basic Latina podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you want to reach us, please do so on Instagram and Facebook at Basic Latina Podcast. Or if you'd like to write us an email with any questions, suggestions, or comments, you can write us in at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. Sound editing for this episode is by Moi, and the music is by Chef Dog. Talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.